Okay, good evening, everyone. This is the regular semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is Tuesday, November 27th at something like 5:37 Pacific, 8:37 Eastern, but I don't have a watch with me, so take that with a grain of salt. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA. I'm the chair of this committee, and we're going to start by having our secretary, R. Paul Martin from WBAI, call the roll.
Okay, Ken Aaron.
Here.
Jim Boyd.
Here.
Bill Crozier. Marcus Jeter. Campbell Johnson. Kim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg. Barbara Wipperman.
Here.
Okay, that's six, and I think now that's a quorum.
Six is quorum. Let me just make an attendance note. Alex Steinberg asked for an excused absence due to work commitments, and Bill Crozier from KPFT was here 5 seconds ago and will probably come back. Okay. Our first order of business is a draft agenda. One was sent to you earlier. There's two things that I need to say about it. The first is, unfortunately, I do not have a consolidated budget for us to approve tonight. I apologize for that. It was my responsibility to get it pulled together, and it was a little more spreadsheet work than I could manage in my spare time. I will have it to the Finance Committee fairly shortly, since the consolidated is essentially just a combination of all of the divisional budgets that we have that we've already approved, and except for the archives that PNB has already approved, it's sort of a pro forma document. Nothing will be any different than it was before. It'll just be all put together, but I don't have it for us tonight, and I apologize. Unfortunately, the staffing level at the national office and the audit coming on and various other things going on and hurricanes and all the rest of it rendered it so there was not quite enough support there, so it fell on me a little more heavily than I was entirely prepared for and entirely able to deal with, so I'm sorry. Other than that, we had a suggestion that perhaps we talk a little bit about our East Coast stations in transition. So if someone wants to make a modification to add that to an open agenda or potentially to a closed agenda, I'm flexible. I'm just asking what the body wants to do in terms of adding that item. And let's see. So the draft agenda that we have, item three is moot. Item four was discussing the bonding motion that was referred to this committee because we have to do something with it. Item five was the pending event planning motion, and it was sent as an attachment. So then the new item five, after we get rid of three, would be East Coast transitions, unless we want to do that in close.
This is Kim.
Yeah.
I would like to add
Bill, I'm back.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
What to do about these non-budget grants that
KPFK
may be the only station, but, you know, that's dangling out there. And number two, what to do about the so-called major donations that are not all being used for our operating budget.
Okay, so Kim has a modification. Okay, so Kim has a modification to the agenda. She wants to add discussions of non-operational grants and donations.
How to account for them?
Yeah,
the non-operational grants, and how, you know, we need a. We need policy.
Okay.
Well, why don't we just make it on the agenda? Let's not.
Yeah, I'm just trying to come up with a short version for the agenda.
One is major donors that are being siphoned off for personal expenses. So they're two different issues. I mean, if you want to combine them into irregular, you know, line items, that's fine. But
I'm going to call them non-operational grants and donations, and you're going to motivate it when we get up to the item and explain that distinction. I think that's fine.
This is Ken.
Okay, so that modification's on the floor. Ken?
I'd prefer if we, the issue that you distributed about planning control of events be moved up to number four, because, and that the, well, that's one thing, and that the, I think the D.C. situation should be in closed session because it's difficult to discuss issues like that when we're in negotiations.
Yeah. Okay. Any other changes that people have, or are those all of them?
So just a clarification. So Ken is suggesting, well, I'm looking at the version, the printed version, number six is switched with number five, correct?
Yeah, except that number three is being deleted, so
it's more
like number five becoming,
I would still put mine before there and before number five.
Okay,
now I'm going to have to go look. Now I'm going to have to go look at the piece of paper because you guys are confusing me.
Could I read what I have here? What I have is roll call. I have roll call, approve agenda, approve pending minutes, bonding research, event coordination / documentation motions, East Coast transitions, and non-operational grants and donations.
Okay. So those are now the items on the agenda. And so, Ken, where do you want to put your item?
Well, there was nothing ahead of it. It was. I'm sorry, was there anything ahead of it?
Event bonding research was ahead event
and
coordination.
Then,
you want to move event in front of bonding, right?
No.
No?
No, it's fine. It's fine where it
okay.
is.
Okay.
It's just that the issues that Kim brought up are very, very important, but we're just going to discuss them. Whereas what we already have a motion here on event coordination.
Okay.
So the other thing is we're going to, like, be, you know, just pontificating and talking. What do I think about this and that?
Well, we may get a motion together about it.
Yeah, I understand, but we don't have a solution.
Right, okay.
Okay, Kim, can you live with position six?
Yeah,
I don't think
sure.
it's going to take
no,
all that
no,
long
no,
to get
fine.
There.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
I wanted his thing before mine.
Yeah, I don't think position six is like...
I don't care. Believe me,
I don't
care.
Position of death at all.
No, I just don't care. Please, let's, you know, it's fine.
Okay, and Ken, the last part of the motion was that we talk about East Coast moves in closed session, which I think we can do. I'll have to check if we have a closed number, but I assume that we do, and if we don't, we'll work that out.
We do. We have a code for a closed number.
We do. Okay. All right.
So, Madam Chair, so if we knock out, I don't know, do we want to leave? Do we want to leave roll call in there or take it off the agenda?
We are leaving roll call in there, darn it.
It's in there then, okay. So it becomes roll call, approve agenda, approve pending minutes, bonding research, event coordination / documentation, transition operational donations.
Oh, East Francisco.
Okay, so let me write that down. Okay, hold on. Okay, so approve agenda, minutes, bonding research, event coordination stuff, then non-operational grants and donations.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so that's our motion. Okay, that's our motion for a modified agenda. Are there any objections? Okay, onward. So we are up to approve pending minutes. Paul, I'll kind of default to you here. I assume that we have some from our meeting earlier in November. I don't think we have any others, but you're the expert.
Okay, hold on one second. Yeah, one second here. I'm trying to write down what we just did.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, we have minutes from, September, October here? Let me go look rapidly.
Should we really?
Oh.
Yeah, the 10th. Jim had, remember we did, I wasn't there for the beginning of one of them?
Yeah.
And so we have minutes from the 10th of, I think it's September. And let me look at that. And we also have minutes from our last meeting on the 13th. So, yeah, it's they're both up there. And one of them is for September 10th, and the other is for the last meeting on November 13th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take them in order. Is there any motion to modify or to approve, as is the September 10th minutes? Hello?
I guess not. I guess I make a motion to approve.
Are there any objections? Okay, those motions are so approved. Better late than never. Okay, and that will take us to, I believe, November 13th is probably the date.
Right.
Okay, is there a motion to modify or to approve?
I move to approve the November 13th minutes.
Okay, are there any objections? Yoo-hoo, we're done. Okay, thank you, everyone. So that will take us into bonding research. Folks on the PNB will remember this. For those who don't, and anybody who might be listening to us, there was a motion brought on the PNB to look into the costs of getting what you call bonds or security bonds on any number of our employees. It was brought up, the executive managers, the general managers, business managers, anyone that handles cash or donations in any way, shape, or form. All of these things were potentially on the table. And it was referred to the Finance Committee so that we could come up with kind of a cost statement and a cost analysis. How is this best done? If it is to be done, and what would it cost? So I did a little bit of preliminary research, and I have some really rough numbers, which can certainly be turned into a report, but it's not a report. So it seems to me that what we kind of need is for people to take that sort of, you know, quick internet surfing and do a little bit more research and come up with a sort of a definitive statement about what these things cost. What I came up with was that it cost around, I think it was about $700 or $800. I'll have to pull the email for $100,000 bond. That there were specific protocols involved in terms of whether this was, you know, a direct handler of cash or not a direct handler of cash.
Kim to the stack, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
$700 for what period of time, and what actually does bonding do for us?
It's annual, so you would have to pay it every single year. And what bonding is it's basically a kind of insurance. The employer needs to check references and do various other things, but having done that, if nothing unwieldy comes to light, then presumably if there were to be an embezzlement scenario, up to $100,000 there would be insurance coverage, less some sort of a deductible, which varies from company to company.
It only covers that?
That's my understanding, yeah. Bill, what did you want to add?
Yeah. By the way, I just forwarded the motion. It was made by Lydia at the last PNB meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you check your emails there, one of the concerns that several of us discussed at the PNB meeting about it was that even though the motion itself only addresses people, it says designated by the PNB, which normally the PNB doesn't do the designation, but it's going to be presumably at the national office. It's not real clear that's what it's referring to. It doesn't just refer to the people at all the stations. So those are the ones that really handle most of the money. So you're talking about a lot more cost because you'd have all five stations in PRA also, and everybody there who's presumably could sign on any accounts.
Well, and also people who handle cash, like I think subscription folks and, you know, I mean, generally the idea of a bond is people who directly process payments.
Right. So we need to think about who, if we were to do it, who would be the big risk, how many people, how many of them are there, can we afford it, of course, and, yeah, you know, what kind of positions are we talking about? So we need to think about all those things.
Right, and the basic problem with a bond is, sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
What I'm afraid of is it would cost a lot of money by the time we bond all the people that handle money.
Yes, it would. And the other thing about a bond is that it relates to a specific individual, so you would need to identify an individual as the source of a potential problem of missing funds. If you didn't bond the right individual, the insurance might not pay up. So,
Kim to the stack.
There's definitely some problems. Yeah, Kim.
I mean, at KPFK, I would identify the business manager, obviously, but also the subscriptions manager and the person that does the community events who handles cash.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the general manager whose ultimate responsibility it is.
Right.
So, if you don't do all of them, it's moot.
Barbara with a question.
Right. Yes, Barbara.
Well, just to be totally clear, so this would be a policy by individuals. In other words, the cost of $700 to $800 a year would be per person that we want to bond. Is that correct?
Yes. That's my understanding from the preliminary internet surfing that I did, that you bond in a particular individual. And that's the cost.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess what I'm looking for, if possible, is one or two volunteers to verify that information and write up a paragraph or so that we can present as a financial impact analysis.
I'll work on it.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kim.
Well, who else? I don't want to do it alone.
Okay, this is the part where I say Kim and... And I'm sorry, I'm trying to get out of it because my plate is very full
fine.
Right now.
That's fine, yeah. No, you know, come on, somebody else. Come on, somebody else must
okay,
have
I'll
it.
I'll take a look at it, too.
Yeah,
I have certain issues.
Who was that who said something?
I didn't hear anybody say anything.
That's Jim.
I was just hoping.
That was Ken.
Was that Kim and Jim?
Oh, Jim? Jim and Kim is great.
Jim and Kim and Ken?
Well, Jim...
You have good expertise in this, Ken.
No, I don't.
In this kind of, you know... So let's make a little team of Jim, Ken, and me.
My major concern is that any bonding company that's still in business is going to have operating requirements that we don't fulfill, like lockboxes and accounting, constituent... coordination and so forth. So look at
maybe.
Give me a break.
Well, that's important stuff to know, Ken, and that's a good observation, and that's why we need you on. You don't have to do the work, but, you know,
these
are things that I wouldn't think of, and I'll be happy to, do the work.
Okay, so we got three people.
Okay, and there is no strict deadline. I'm not expecting this to get done by Thursday. I don't think anyone is. So the next PNB meeting would not be until at least December 6th, and it might be okay for December 12th because I don't think the Finance Committee will meet again until the second week of December. So let's say maybe the second week of December.
Okay.
Okay.
If I can just ask one question. This is strictly a fidelity bond for financial mismanagement?
Fidelity bond, that is the language that I researched, and that's where those numbers are coming from.
Okay.
If you discover that there is some other kind of bond that would be appropriate for this purpose, then, you know, by all means. But that was what I looked at, since I assumed that that was what Lydia meant.
Well, she probably didn't know what she meant, but she was just, you know, like poking in the dark there, but we do. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's sort of a question of what's the intent of the motion and then what's the financial impact of fulfilling the intent of the motion and however you guys interpret that.
Right. Well, already I'm encouraged by both Jim and Ken's expertise in this area. And like I said, guys, I'm happy to do the work. Just, you know, point me in the right direction. So Fidelity Bond, at least I can. Do you have any written stuff, Tracy, that you can forward me or?
I have written stuff that I sent to the PNB, which was just basically what I verbally said. I don't believe that I went to the trouble of bookmarking anything, but I could probably send you a couple of links to get started.
Yeah,
I will plan to do that.
Send me what you sent to the PNB so I can see what, you know, what that is. So shall I put down the 11th, December 11th, we're going to meet again?
That sounds reasonable, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then presumably we can send off whatever we finalize and the PNB will do, you know, whatever with it. Okay. I think that we killed off that item. So that brings us to the long delayed event planning or event documentation motion. I sent you guys a copy of what was sort of the preliminary final version of it as a Word document with the agenda. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up. Give me a second here.
I have one comment whenever you want to take a stack.
Okay, well, I'm probably going to let Ken motivate it, but let me just get it open here. Okay, I'm not going to read the whole checklist form because it's just impossible to read a sample form on the phone, but I will go ahead and read the text of the motion just so whatever audience we have can follow what's going on.
The motion is called Monitoring of Public Expense.
You lost volume, Tracy.
Okay.
The motion is called Monitoring of Public Events. In order to promote transparency and improve monitoring of station activities, following protocol will be followed for all events conducted by stations, whether done independently or in coordination with another entity. One, a pre-event checklist shall be completed and presented to the LSB and national office at least 2 weeks prior to the event and prior to any contractual commitment being made by the station. The checklist will include a description of the event, a budget, a list, and description of the principals involved, intended ownership of any copyrighted material that may be produced. Two, a post-event checklist shall be completed, presented to the LSB and national management no later than 30 business days after the event ends. This checklist shall include a reconciliation of funds received or dispersed, all items sold, gifted, or lost, and tickets sold or gifted. Three, nothing in this protocol requires LSB or national office approval for events. The LSB at the station and the national office are expected to monitor event activity and exercise their authority to guarantee fiscal prudence. Number four, this protocol applies to any events requiring expenditure or obligation of $500 or more. This protocol will also apply to a series of events scheduled over a period of time. Number five, the accuracy and timeliness of the checklist are the responsibility of the general manager of the station, who is also responsible for the ongoing success or failure of events held under the auspices of the station. Six, the attached checklist may be commended from time to time by the national office. And then there's a draft pre-event checklist and a draft post-event checklist, both of which are about a page long. And basically ask the title of the event, the nature of the event, the date and the time and the venue, person who's in charge, and approximate
budget, and then the post-event, it's basically pretty much the same. What's the income, outstanding payables, the attendance, number of new member or renewal sign-ups, and any signed contracts, receipts, et cetera. And that's pretty much it. So let me go ahead and let Ken motivate it, and then we'll go to Kim. Hello?
This motion.
Hello?
Oh,
yeah, sorry, I was on mute. I'm here.
This motion's from Ken, right?
Yes, this is Ken.
Right, okay.
Yes.
I want to make sure in a minute whose motion it is.
Yeah, the motion
yes.
is from me. The idea is to create an instrument or a procedure to create transparency between the station, management, and National, and the LSB, so that we don't get a surprise that they're putting on a duck race or a nudist beauty prize or some kind of a weird event that's not likely to be successful. And also to control what happens with what the event may generate in terms of valuable media, like that recording the video, to try to start to get some management going. Now, the key thing here, well, there's two things. The main thing is, I think to make this successful, you have to have that clause in there that this doesn't prevent a station from doing an event. It's just the intent here is to report it ahead of time and after it's completed to report on the consequences. If National gets this report ahead of time, then National can intercede on local management to whatever degree it needs. And the LSB can make recommendations to whatever degree it needs. So it's very important to stipulate that this does not require approval of governance to transact business, which is what events are. But the other issue is, it says here for all events of $500 or more. I thought originally I had said $5,000 or more, because we don't necessarily need this for every community. What's it called? The CAB meetings.
Community events.
Community advisory board.
No,
yeah, community advisory board event or a book sale outside in the parking lot,
right.
Or a thank you party after the fundraisers.
I think you're right.
Every
yeah.
wine and cheese event. So it's $500. It's way too low. I say $5,000, but that could be that's something we might discuss once the other elements of this is in effect. Now, there's one last thing to say here. I'm trying to do this in other issues, break apart the specific protocol up in one, the head of the motion. Then the detail about what has to be reported, that's in the checklist, and that can be adjusted later. So if you want to say how many chairs were rented or was the manager there, whatever you want to add, you put that in the checklist in detail. But the general intent of the motion is on the first page. So that's my motivation. Now, the point is, again, this is just reporting and transparency and is a tool, and it does not mandate any control of governance over management. That's it.
Okay. I know Kim was on the stack. Anybody else want to be on the stack?
Barbara.
Or Paul.
Bill.
Okay. We'll go in that order. Kim, you're up.
Well, first I wanted to separate out or add, you had a bunch of expenses, but I wanted to make sure that the word merchandise was in there because they do not account for merchandise sold. There is no record of that, even though we requested it. I think that's important. Number two, I certainly wouldn't put the amount up to $5,000, and it depends on what you're considering an expense. We have a lot of, I would say $1,000 would be adequate, although some of these things could slip under that radar. I found in the last month that expenses for a recent event that we had, some of those expenses were being buried on request in premiums, making the last event a big money loser once you discover these other expenses. So there's that tendency. Also, I mean, one of those expenses that was buried elsewhere was food. So this is going to be an issue at K, I can see.
Okay.
Those expenses should have been obviously under community events, not in premiums.
Okay, I'm gonna put myself at the bottom of the stack, and I think our Paul was next, followed by Barbara.
Okay. Fast here. First, a couple of things, so I get this right in the minutes. Do we want in the minutes the motion only, or do we want these checklists in the motion too?
I think we want the checklist in the motion. That's why I sent you the hard copy Word document.
Okay, I've done that. And another thing, fast, before I get to my other stuff, I'm gonna put in a period where it needs to be and take out an extraneous hyphen, and if anything like that shows up, I'll do that too. Now, number, let's see. Okay, basically I'm in favor of this. 5,000, I think, might be a bit high, and We need to make sure that everything is a big lump. As Kim has pointed out, sometimes things could sort of wander off on their own and somehow be, you know, considered not a part of something, and that changes the entire thrust of what has happened at it. Did you make money or did you lose money? I know we can all remember that there's been another event a few years ago where, you know, people are still arguing, did it make money or did it lose money? And that was a lot more than $5,000 even.
Right.
So I think $5,000 may be a bit high. In terms of the LSB, it says in here the LSB has something to do with all of this. I'm not sure how that will work exactly, because somebody could get up an event and the LSB isn't going to meet for another 4 to 6 weeks, and oh my, you know, so there'll be a lot of yelling about that. And then maybe the LSB can't go fast enough, or maybe there are too many events all of a sudden, and the LSB can't look at them and sort of exercise any of the responsibilities it's given here. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. I mean, overall, I'm in favor of this, but I'm wondering if we should at least think about what to do about the fact that it's possible the LSB could be overwhelmed or could be not meeting in a timely enough way to be able to meet this. And people say, well, we couldn't do our great money-raising event because that damned LSB didn't meet in time or something like that. Anyway, those are my thoughts.
Okay. Barbara is next on the stack.
Well, I just wanted to be maybe we need a little clarification word in here. We're talking about $5,000 limit. We're talking about in expenses, correct? Not income expected or anything like that.
Correct.
So there's money, you know, going both ways. And if this motion is about the amount of money put out, I think you should add the word $5,000 in expenses whenever you're mentioning whatever you know, that decide on.
Kim does yeah. Back.
Okay, Kim, we're still going around on first tries, and Bill is next.
I understand.
Okay. Bill?
Okay, yeah, thanks. First, I think it's clear to me what we mean, but I think we should specify who's responsible for doing this reporting. I assume station management. They may in turn want the organizer of the event, if that's a person or a group, you know, should do it, to submit it to them, but we need to make sure it's clear that we're going to hold the management, station management, responsible if it's not done, so they can't just pass the buck and say, well, so-and-so, the organizer, didn't fill us out. Secondly, I think we would, in addition to 5,000 or 1,000 or 2,000, whatever threshold, we're going to have for reporting, also say it, either that or if it requires some amount of staff time, more than 20 hours or 40 hours or whatever. We've had some events that have, you know, have relatively small amount of money, but they just consumed huge amounts of staff time. And so it was a real money loser, even if they didn't fork over any cash on the event because of the staff time required. And I think the people need to be thinking of that.
Uh-huh.
So that's all. Yes, I would suggest it maybe 20 hours of staff time, but if you want to make it 40, that's okay, too. It's easy to get to 20. I mean, almost anything. But people just don't even think about that. It's like a it's not on their radar as a cost, but it's a really significant amount for longer events.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Okay, so I heard Kim for a second round.
Oh, no, this is Ken. If I could intercede, I'd like to go before second accounts, second speakers, because I can respond to some of the comments.
Okay, at some point I want to say something, but I'll wait till the end and, you know, and see where we get to. So, okay, is there anyone who hasn't spoken who wants to speak? Okay, Ken, then Kim.
Okay, in regards to Kim's consideration about merchandise, item 2 says, checklist shall include a reconciliation of funds received or dispersed, all items sold, gifted, or lost, and tickets sold or gifted.
Mm-hmm.
Using the word merchandise is inappropriate. We want to cover if somebody gives away a haircut or anything, or go to dinner with Amy, it's not necessarily merchandise. So if anything, will be more broader. I have this: all items sold, gifted or lost, and tickets sold or gifted. I don't think we should limit it to merchandise. The phrase, that was in paragraph 2. In paragraph 4, it says, all events requiring an expenditure or obligation of $500 or more. And I concur with Bill, or requiring an estimated 40 hours of staff, paid staff time or more, because it would only be paid staff time. We couldn't object to 100 or 1,000 hours of volunteer time. So, but that could be added. But it's 5,000 or more. I don't think our pool, people are saying a limit of 5,000. That's a bottom limit. So whatever the limit is, we're talking 1,000 or 5,000 or more, or 2,000 or more. The last point is one of the statements Bill made is the paragraph 5 says accuracy, timeliness, and checklist are the responsibility of the general manager. And I think I don't want to go below that because we don't know what the staffing is and the variable sizes of the stations and so forth. The buck's got to stop with the general manager, and he can assign, and he manages the people under him. So if he has an event coordinator or development director or station, you know, program director, who's ever coordinating the event, he's got to handle that with them and get them to fill out the form for him, but he's responsible. I don't want to, you know, this isn't Starbucks or McDonald's. We're not that organized. So I just want to leave it with the one person. He's responsible. And that's all I wanted to say. And again, as I said, the details of what goes in the checklist about particular bugbears that we've discovered that we want to include would go into the pre-event and the post-event checklist. And we can't, I think it's not a good use of our time to try to document all the possibilities. That goes into the checklist as time goes on. And you modify the checklist, and you cover what experience shows needs to be covered.
Okay, Kim is next.
I guess I'm talking about the checklist where it says here, please attach a full budget, including all expenses, staff hours required, insurance costs, and premiums being sold. I would just add merchandise. If you don't spell it out, I think they won't do it. They haven't done it to date, so I just think adding that word merchandise in there is just remind them that they're required to put that in. I think 20 hours of paid staff time, I say 10 hours of paid staff time, really, should be, you know, the bottom line. We are a radio station. We, you know, we're doing too much of this stuff with very, very little returns, if any, at least at our station. So I say 10 hours of paid staff time. And, you know, again, my bottom line is an event of $1,000, not $5,000, because everything at Kay will fly under the radar there. I mean, yeah, and it does have the requirement for it being the responsibility of the general manager in there, which is fine.
Okay. Is there anyone else who wants to talk? Okay, then I'm going to call on myself. Couple of thoughts. In terms of the expenditure or obligation, I understand what Kim is saying, but I also want to be fair about the fact that record keeping takes time, and that essentially there's no checklist on earth probably that is going to prevent every maneuver that people might make to move expenses around. So to me, it seems that what we get out of this is we get improved documentation of significant events where, you know, a substantial expenditure has been made and a substantial amount of revenue, hopefully, is expected. In terms of numbers, I'm basically what I'm trying to avoid is having to fill out every one of these every single time you rent a room for $200 and, you know, spend a couple hours publicizing something and make a flyer and send an email blast and 20 people come and have a discussion. It just seems to me that this is overkill for that. So I would lean towards some sort of middle ground along the line of 2,000 or 2,500 and 20 plus hours of staff time or even 40 hours. And I understand that means that certain kinds of things might not get picked up here. But in terms of lesser evils and greater evils, I also think that if we make the paperwork so onerous, it won't get done. And in a sense, if we target it to significant station expenditures, I think we'll have less resistance to getting it actually done. And that will help us when the amount of money at stake is significant. Okay. The second thing I would say is, I'm hearing Ara Paul about the way that LSBs meet and the way that many stations have events. I mean, certainly at KPFA we have events all the time, several times a month. So the business of the LSB reviewing all of this stuff is really going to be just basically a question of paperwork being available and to some degree available upon request. So part of what I'm thinking, and I don't know if people think this is a stupid idea or not, I'm just throwing it out, is maybe the post-event checklist, the pre-event checklist, are completed. The GM is responsible for that, and perhaps a file copy goes to the national office and a file copy goes to the LSB treasurer, and then the LSB treasurer can just, you know, include that in a financial report to the LSB once a month. And that might include numerous pre-event and post-event checklists. Because the idea of emailing all of these forms on an ongoing basis to every member of the LSB strikes me as a little crazy. So that's just a suggestion. It's certainly to the maker of the motion. So, Ken, you can let me know how you feel about that.
Okay. I can answer that.
Barbara.
Okay. And is there anything else? Let me just finish with there was anything else here. No. Oh, and then the other thing was just like, language, which was, if nobody minds, in terms of what Kim was saying, I think we could change premiums being sold to the same language that's on the first page, which is items sold, gifted, or lost, and tickets sold or gifted. So the first page and the checklist are the same thing. And that would address that concern, and it would even make it a little more consistent with the language. Okay, that's all.
Get rid of the stock.
Anybody?
I heard Barbara.
I heard Barbara, and then Ken wanted to respond to the two suggestions that were kind of to the maker of the motion. So let's go Barbara, Ken, Kim.
Well, as to your suggestion that the treasurer can report on these, in our LSB meetings, the general manager makes reports about, you know, whatever from months. And if that's the person responsible for this form, it doesn't necessarily mean that treasurer can't also report, but it seems like that's a good place to start, that the person in charge of approving or, you know, making sure this kind of form is out and kept could certainly report on it.
Okay, well, let me clarify. I didn't mean so much reporting. Maybe I said that. I meant sort of just distribution or, you know, distribution to the rest of the LSB. Kind of what I meant to say. So I'm sorry. Maybe I said that in a clunky way. But, yeah, that's a possibility, too. Do the GMs come to the LSB meetings at the other stations? I know that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, I'm going to stack them out.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's another possibility for the language there. Okay, so Ken was next.
Bill.
Okay, Ken.
All right, I agree with those both amendments, like from Bill, about adding 4 hours in terms of the threshold, and 20 hours or 40 hours. And I agree with Kim, Tracy, and item 2, a post-event checklist shall be completed and presented to, anytime it says, and presented to the LSB and national office, instead of saying presented to the LSB and national management. I guess it should be consistent in both places. It should be, that's in item 1 and 2, it could be, and presented to the LSB treasurer for appropriate distribution, or just presented to the LSB treasurer. I agree, it could be more specific, because the LSB does not have to make a decision or a statement about this at all. There could be 5 events, but they do. It does need to be disclosed to them.
Right, and then if the LSB says we want to see the checklist, the LSB treasurer will have it.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
So whatever details on that is fine. So if it's, I'm just saying it should be presented to the LSB. I'm not saying the vehicle, but it might be better to clarify that it presented to the treasurer of the LSB. So it's understood. It doesn't have to be sent out to everybody. I'm agreeable either way. But again, and also with getting consistency in the statements between what it says on page 1 and the checklists.
Okay, so that sounds like 3 pretty straightforward amendments. I guess the only question there is the 20 hours or the 40 hours. The rest of it seems pretty...
And also 2,500 is fine by me. I think Tracy understands the intent. If you this is not to stop management from doing stupid, frivolous, pointless, financially idiotic events. This is just to get it to be disclosed. So management has to handle events. This is not for the LSB to manage or restrain or prohibit activities, for the LSB to restrain or prohibit activities of management. It's just to get it disclosed. So, as Tracy said, you put too many barriers there. The worst thing we can do is stop outreach. And community events and so forth are outreach. So you can't do that. I think it's very improper to do that. But it should be disclosed so there can be recommendations and consultation, and management can manage.
Okay. I think we're getting closer on the language, which is exciting. Bill was on the stack, and Kim.
Point of information or something here. I need to get this nailed down so that we don't.
I know.
Yeah. So let
I know that you do, and I'm taking notes, and there's going to be like an omnibus, these are the changes,
okay.
Thomas, we just haven't gotten all the details quite yet, but I think we're close. There's three modifications so far. And we have Bill and Kim on the stack. So, Bill?
Yeah, well, maybe I'm complicating things with another amendment. But if for events that take several months in planning, I'd like to have this updated monthly if there's changes. Now, I realize there may be minor changes that wouldn't affect, you know, the specific categories on the checklist. But, you know, if you know you have this big event and you first plan on not having an event planner and then things change and you said you have to hire that person and so it changes your costs and maybe expected income too. I guess my point is that if there's I'd like to have it updated monthly if any of the numbers change.
Yeah, that does complicate things. Okay, let's go to Kim. I don't know.
Or at least if it's more than a certain amount. But, you know, really, there should be any bigger event they should be doing this anyway. I'll give you an example. You know, we have a golf tournament. We've done it almost every year the last few years. It's not a huge event, but, you know, it costs a few $1,000 in expenses and, you know, we raise maybe $10,000 or something, or $212 gross. It's not a huge amount, but it takes several months to plan it. And our development director already does this. She puts it all on a spreadsheet, and you have certain fixed costs and you have variable costs depending on how many people are going to be signing up. And, you know, and then it gets updated all the time, and it's helpful to know that. And so it doesn't take a lot of extra time. In fact, it's probably something they should be doing anyway for any event that's going to be at least $1,000.
Agreed.
Ken, if point of information, I'll phrase it that way.
Okay.
Bill, do you have a suggested amendment?
Talking to me?
Yeah, Bill.
Are you talking
what
to me,
the
Ken?
Amendment? Yes, I am.
Yes.
We're punishing you for complicating things.
Sorry. And that for events that take several more than a month to plan, that the spreadsheet be updated at least monthly if there's any changes in it.
Okay. I have an objection to that, actually. I think that's getting micromanaging. Okay, well, I should wait my turn. I'm not crazy about that amendment, and I'll say why. Kim, you're next on the stack.
You know, everybody's station is different. And so Barbara is saying that Andrew shows up there and reports on these things, and our general manager shows up and he doesn't report on things, or he has reports that are, I'm not sure what you word to use here, are not very helpful that way. So at K, this reporting would actually have two purposes. One, that the treasurer, finance committee, LSB, whoever, would, you know, be aware of this, and two, the general manager would be aware of this. KPFK is losing money on these events. They are not even being, you know, transparent to management of what's going on there right now. So in order to make these up to $2,500, all of our events would fly under the radar. It's completely not helpful for K. Again, $1,000. All the smaller things fall under there. All of the things fall over there. $1,000 would be fine for our station. And each station could maybe have a different number if that's the way it needs to be. Like, I don't know, but anything bigger than 1,000 and they just blow it off. I mean, yeah. And number two, the other thing I would add in these, you know, is food, because that's, I can see, getting buried. We have a different situation than the other stations. So I think you have to spell more out, not less, for us.
Attend to the stack.
And, you know, I guess Ken's going to disagree with me, but I don't know how else to prevent what's going on for us.
Or pull for
okay.
That.
We hear your point. I have comments, too. Okay, so I heard Ken, I heard R. Paul, and I'm putting myself on the stack. Let's do R. Paul first.
Okay. Yeah. One of the, you know, yes, we want transparency, and we want to see all these things. Part of that is somebody finagling around.
Right.
And if at a station, you know, if we find at a station that they've filled out one or two of these things, but the budget and the income statements and all of that look like they've had five or six of these things, we say, ahem, or somebody says, ahem, because that will in and of itself be a reason to question what's going on here. Failure to comply with the financial rules of an organization in most places is considered very serious, and I think that's a part of this. So while we want to make sure that there is reporting about this stuff, that there's transparency about it, and we don't want to do micromanaging where we drive everybody, including ourselves, crazy, and we want to get some sort of middle ground where we get information, there is also the fact that if there is a requirement that you report on certain things, that it's a requirement, not a request. And so if there's a whole bunch of stuff, if there's a significant amount of discrepancy between what's being said is being done on these pre and post papers that we're seeing here. If these documents say X amount of money is being spent on all of this, but the income statement sure looks like there's more than that being spent, well, somebody needs to talk to somebody else. Probably governance needs to talk to management about that, or Pacifica management needs to talk to local management about that. So I don't think we have to, you know, nail it down so that someone who might, in some opinions, be kind of delinquent on reporting, you know, so we nail them down completely. We just make it so that they know they've got a report. And if they start finagling and slipping expenses into other places, you know, there are legal terms for that, and they're not nice ones. And, you know, let people know that, and we'll discover it. Somebody will do something about it, I hope. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. All right. Ken was next.
All right. Here I am. So, again, on the document, on item number 4, this protocol will also apply to a series of events scheduled over a period of time. So if there's something that's done like 3 or 4 times a year and that goes over the threshold amount, it applies. I disagree with everything, or not everything Kim said, but the majority of what she's saying. The biggest mistake you can make in writing a policy is to be specific about items which are subject to change and variability. It says all expenditures and all revenue, something like that. So you don't want to say food or wooden shoes or baseball hats or sunglasses or back rubs or anything. You just want to say all expenditures and revenue, because you don't want to specify, because then somebody will say, oh, you didn't say stemware, and you didn't say a trip to the ocean or a cruise. So I didn't list it. We just want to say all expenditures and all revenue.
I refer the stack.
That's what we're concerned about.
So to specify items gives you bigger problems and allows for greater avoidance of reporting. In general categories of information that have to be reported. Additionally, we just went through a major event at Pacifica, at KPFK. We had the fiasco at the Nokia Center, which was like $40,000 or $50,000. It says in obligations or expenditures. So if you obligate to pay a rental on a venue, that's more than, let's say, the threshold is $2,500, it has to be reported. Or if the total obligations and expenditures are more than the threshold, $2,500. I do not believe that events at the church when Amy Goodman shows up are less than $1,000. Yes, there's lots of events that go on, and we can't manage them all, and you cannot hold a whip over management. The LSBs cannot hold a whip and a chain over management. So we've got no reporting now, pre-event and post-event. Let's start with the big boys. And if we can get that under control, then we can do more minute management. But it's silly to put in a restriction that says every little book sale and every little public event down at $1,000 has to be reported to the LSC. There isn't the staff to do it, and it's not appropriate. If I was the manager and some guy said, I want to do this, I want to try this public event, and I need, you know, it's going to be $1,000 and it's a reliable person, I might go ahead and I say, turn in a budget or this or that, but I wouldn't necessarily have the time to document it all and put it in a formal machine. And we don't have that. We're nowhere near that kind of detailed management. So let's start with the big holes, patch them, and then we'll get to the smaller holes. But most of the things we're talking about are in here, and with the revision suggested, the three or four things that we've already come up with, I think we have a policy to start with. The other thing is you have to have a network viewpoint, and you can't isolate down to what's the particular problems at your station. We have to make a network policy that can be applied broadly. And it doesn't stop you from getting something passed at the local LSB if you want to make something particular to your station to fine-tune it. But we want to get something national. Okay, that's all.
Okay, I think that Barbara was next on the stack.
And then Kim.
Okay, and I want to get a word in edgewise at some point.